Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Let me read to you again, and then we'll bring on three City Hall reporters to talk about what it means. A little bit from the U.S. Attorney's statement, the Office of Acting U.S. Attorney Jun H. Kim, because, of course, Preet Bharara was removed by President Trump just last weekend. This statement, which is just out a little before 10 o'clock this morning, clearing Mayor de Blasio and any of his aides of anything criminal. It says, after careful deliberation, given the totality of the circumstances here and absent any additional evidence, we do not intend to bring federal criminal charges against the mayor or those acting on his behalf relating to the fundraising efforts in question. It does say earlier in the statement they write long sentences. In considering whether to charge individuals with serious public corruption crimes, we take into account, among other things, the high burden of proof, the clarity of existing law, any recent changes in the law, and the particular difficulty in proving criminal intent in corruption schemes, difficulty in proving, where there is no evidence of personal profit. And that might be a key. And then they conclude, although it is rare that we issue a public statement about the status of an investigation, we believe it is appropriate in this case at this time in order not to unduly influence the upcoming campaign and mayoral election. So listeners, our phones are open for your reactions or questions. We'll clarify as much as we can. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And joining me now are WNYC City Hall reporter Bridget Bergen, Ben Max, the editor of Gotham Gazette, and Laura Namias, City Hall reporter for Politico New York. Good morning to all of you. Thank you for joining us on extremely short notice.
Good morning.
Bridget, what do you make of it?
Well, it's a pretty remarkable, certainly the timing coming coordinated between both offices. For a lot of people who have been watching the mayor's race, the looming question that everyone sort of defaults to is, we'll have a better sense of what this race will really look like once we know what happens with these investigations. And now that we know that no one is being charged, it certainly, I think, puts the race in, this is the field. And for those who were sitting on the sidelines sort of waiting, there's nothing to wait for anymore because now we know what the situation is that's really facing the mayor.
Ben Max, what do you make of it?
Well, I think Bridges hit it on the head there in terms of the dynamics, the political dynamics at play in the mayor's race. You know, one thing that's already an issue in the candidates who have declared are that they're, using this even short of charges against the mayor, and they'll probably continue to use it as you pressed them on, Brian. You know, there's still questions about sort of evading the spirit of the law and questions about the behavior and putting things on agencies' tables that donors want to see. There's some unseemly stuff here that we've known all along. We've just been wondering if it rose to the level of federal corruption charges or state corruption charges in the Manhattan DA matter, and now it seems it hasn't. So these are still going to be issues for the mayor, but this is a huge, obviously, day of relief for him and his team.
Laura Namias, what do you make of it?
It's absolutely good day for Mayor de Blasio. So other reporters may have noticed that he'd added another availability to his public schedule and plans to hold a Blue Room press conference, ostensibly to talk about Donald Trump's skinny budget. But it's clear that he wants to be out in public today and is ready to get back to talking about the things that he cares about the most. It must be an incredible relief for him. And he didn't know that it was coming in advance. For the mayor's office said that the mayor wasn't alerted ahead of time and that his attorney was given a heads up when the statements were being sent out as they were being sent out. So sort of a surprise, a pleasant surprise for him this morning.
Bridget, what do you make of the timing and the fact that these two statements came out at the same time? I'm thinking of two timing questions. One is, do the U.S. Attorney and Manhattan DA's office coordinate things like this? Is this unusual as far as we know? And anybody else can help us sort of crowdsource this investigation. I don't think any of our reporters are lawyers, so anybody who may want to add a little legal knowledge here, welcome to call in, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Bridget, the other time in question, is it a coincidence that the mayor got cleared by the U.S. attorney just after Preet Bharara was removed from that position?
Well, you know, as you said, Brian, I'm not a lawyer, and I wouldn't want to speculate too much beyond what we know from the statement. We know that there were these parallel investigations happening. And, you know, I think part of what we're also seeing is, you know, the timing of this election cycle is moving fast and furious. There was a, you know, a campaign finance disclosure deadline just yesterday. And so I think we are shifting into a point where, you know, based on the statement, you know, these offices recognize that an ongoing investigation that had no, you know, that had no concrete output would be something that would be a shadow over these campaigns, and to prevent that from happening, since, you know, at this point they didn't think they had met the burden of proof to charge anyone, that it was time to, you know, put this to rest.
If I could add, I mean, I think, you know, that I don't have any inside information to this effect, and hopefully there'll be opportunities to ask some of the principals involved from the U.S. Attorney's Office and the Manhattan DA's office at different points about sort of some of their process. It'd be good to ask them some questions and not just have the statements that they put out. But my instinct here is that, you know, nothing here is really coincidence. I don't know where the Bharara departure fits into this, but clearly it's part of the picture. And also for them to release statements on the same morning would be one of the most remarkable coincidences of all time if that was the case. I think Bridget aptly said that the election cycle is clearly playing into the picture here, as was noted in the U.S. attorney statement. I also think, you know, worth noting here is not only the mayoral race, but also the fact that this has been hanging over city government, that the mayor and his aides have been taking a lot of time out of their work days to, you know, deal with these legal matters. There's been a lot of city expense for lawyers outside of the administration and also internal work. Mm. So this is not only, you know, really significant for the mayoral race, but it's also about, you know, the functioning of the city government right now.
And I'm really glad that they did issue a statement clearly saying that they're not going to bring indictments unless additional evidence were to surface, because it does clear the way for programs like this and reporters like you all to talk about city issues over the next 9 months or so, rather than as we head up into a mayoral election year or through a mayoral election year, focus on speculating whether or not the mayor will be indicted and what's the status of these investigations. If I remember correctly, there was something like that with John Liu, and he was controller and running for controller, that there were these investigations into him, and they never really announced whether the investigations were over. There was no indictment of him, but there was stuff about other people, but it wasn't really ever clear whether they cleared him or whether he could be indicted 5 days after an election. And so I think it's good that they put out these statements clarifying that they have found no evidence based on the evidence to date that would be sufficient for an indictment. Laura Namias, go ahead. Who wanted in on that?
I was going to say that the statements themselves from both the U.S. Attorney's Office and from D.A. Vance's office are very interesting. If you've had a chance to read through, particularly D.A. Vance's statement, it's a letter actually to the Board of Elections. It's 10 pages long. Both of them they're not exactly absolving. I mean, no charges will be brought, is what they say in summary. But they say in the U.S. Attorney's instance that it's because of recent changes in the law and because of the high burden of proof. There's sort of an insinuation there that there's possible something was there and they didn't have enough to bring charges. And then in the case of D.A. Vance's statement, it lays out the entire schematic of the circumstances that were under investigation, and essentially says that they did circumvent the law, the aides working on behalf of de Blasio in order to help fundraise for Democrats in the 2014 state Senate races, but that essentially because they were relying on the advice of their lawyers, the mental state for committing a crime or for violating the law wasn't there. It doesn't meet the standard to bring charges. But it's in both cases seems like they're insinuating or suggesting that they came very close to the edge of the law in terms of their fundraising efforts,
That's
et
right.
cetera.
And
forth Brian, read if you have time.
Ben, go ahead.
No, you know, you pushed the mayor well during your interview with him about, you know, this question of the spirit of the law. And, of course, you know, he continued his line about feeling as though he did every, you know, he and his team did everything ethically and legally all along. But there are some real questions here about what they did, as Laura points out. You know, in terms of the dynamics at play moving forward, there's still going to be questions about this behavior, and people are still going to paint the mayor and his team as having done some really unethical, unseemly, and, you know, sort of borderline illegal things. It's just going to be a lot harder, of course, to make any of that really stick to him. And as you said, you know, it's going to force the mayoral election to be quite a bit more about sort of policy and the mayor's policy
right.
record. But as Laura said, you know, there's definitely some things in here, and the U.S. attorney's statement definitely seemed to allude to the recent Supreme Court ruling in the Virginia governor's case that was vacated. But, you know, we won't really know that until we have a chance to ask the U.S. attorney.
And I guess, and, you know, we just got this a few minutes before we went on the air, so I haven't had a chance to think it through. I spent the minutes after we got the U.S. attorney statement talking to the mayor about it. So just starting to think about it a little bit, it must have been ready to go. It must be weird for Preet Bharara to have been removed by President Trump just before this was probably going to come out in this form anyway. I think it would probably be a stretch to imagine that Bharara was going to indict the mayor, and 5 days later, his assistant, June Kim, who's now the acting U.S. attorney, decided not to indict the mayor. So this must have been pretty much ready to go in this form, and they just wind up stealing the spotlight from Preet Bharara by dismissing him. Bridget, do you think?
Well, I think your point that it seems unlikely that, you know, this was going to go in a dramatically different direction now that there's a new acting U.S. attorney is a valid one. You know, I think the U.S. attorney knows the former U.S. attorney was very good at working with the media. And, you know, it will be interesting to see what his next steps are and how he continues that. But I think Ben raises a really good question, which is, you know, when we have an opportunity to actually hear from the new acting U.S. attorney to explain some of this, because until then, I think we will all continue to speculate about the timing and why and when.
Let's take some phone calls. Here is David in Stuyvesant Town. David, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Good morning. I love your show. Sometimes you get me rankled, and other times I love it. This morning, I felt like you were misstating, like you were tweeting. You were talking about the U.S. attorney and the state vindicating, or it felt like you were saying they were vindicating the mayor. And that isn't anything that they did. What they were saying is if this was a civil case and not a criminal case, there probably would be enough evidence that they've collected to get a regular jury of six or eight people, however, to say that not beyond a reasonable doubt, but a preponderance of the evidence shows that they broke some ethical ground or some law. We don't put people in jail for preponderance of the evidence, but there is smoke, there is fire. It would be wonderful to get the minutes that were presented to these people and find a way that citizen groups could go after him, not to put him in jail, not to find them criminally liable, but to find that he did do wrong stuff. The other thing that I really resent on his part is we as citizens paid a fortune for his legal defense, and he is charging the citizens of New York for defending him to go up against the edge of the law. And I love you, Brian, but I think sometimes you sound like you're too much not challenging him enough. Thank you.
David, thank you. Who wanted to react to that?
I have to say that while close to $11 million, it's Laura.
Laura Nami is from Politico.
The mayor has made very clear that he is not charging the taxpayers for his legal defense and, in fact, is pursuing a different and potentially more problematic strategy of creating a separate legal defense fund to pay for this. So he's not charging the taxpayers.
You were breaking up. Ben Max, can you clarify that the mayor says...
So the mayor, even though the administration, there was a budget hearing the other day where the law department said there's been about $10.5 million in outside legal fees for these investigations, but the mayor's defense, his own defense, he is not billing taxpayers, so he has said he's going to set up a legal defense fund. We haven't gotten any clarity on what that will look like or what restrictions he might put on it in terms of donations from people with city business. So there's a lot of questions still outstanding about that, but for his own legal defense, he's not been using taxpayer money.
And for my own...
But I think it's,
Bridget, go ahead.
I think it's important to clarify that there are contracts for legal defense for other city employees who may have been connected to these investigations. So, you know, while it's true that the mayor has made it very abundantly clear that he will not have city taxpayers or taxpayer money pay for his personal defense, that doesn't mean that the impact of these investigations isn't being borne by taxpayers, because the city still has to defend some of these other folks.
And for my part, I don't think I used the word vindicated, and I think I was making clear that they have cleared him of any criminal wrongdoing, but the Manhattan DA slapped his hand pretty hard on saying he violated the spirit of the law, if not the letter of the law. And the mayor even said that my questioning of him on that point was outrageous. So for what it's worth, here is Publius in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. I'm a lawyer, and frankly, I find it outrageous when a prosecutor, whether it's Comey talking about Hillary or Vance talking about the mayor, starts making these statements about how, well, they didn't violate the law, but they violated the spirit of the law. That's pure McCarthyism. First of all, it's outrageous for a prosecutor to be saying anything about an individual who is not going to be charged. But there's nothing in the statute that talks about the spirit of the law. People should be entitled to not violate laws and not violate laws. It's just as simple as that. If you haven't broken the law, you're in the clear. And I think it's McCarthyism for whether you're talking about what Comey said or whether you're talking about what Vance said, for the press to constantly be going into this business about how, well, he didn't do anything wrong, but he's a bad guy because he broke the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law doesn't exist. What exists is what's legal and what's illegal. And that applies to every citizen of the city of New York, the United States of America, and it applies to the mayor as well. Now, I may not like what he did, but that's just a question of taste. That's not a question of violating the spirit of the law. And it's McCarthyism to start talking about things where a guy didn't break a law, but somehow he broke some kind of weird spirit. And I really think that the press is at fault for perpetuating this kind of nonsense.
Well, let me ask a follow-up question. I mean, we have as far as our part as the press, we have a 10-page written statement from the Manhattan DA clearing de Blasio and his aides of criminal wrongdoing, but laying out how they thought A, the law should be changed, and B, the existing law was violated in spirit, so we're going to report on it. But as far as that itself being McCarthyite, the fact that there is a report, do you think it's not a legitimate function of a district attorney or a U.S. attorney who's investigated a matter of public consequence to come out with a report that also, you know, lays out a critique of the nature of the law and the behavior of the individuals, because that adds context after a deep investigation, in addition to just an indictment or no indictment?
Actually, it's not proper. That is the province of a grand jury. A grand jury can come out with a report that doesn't include an indictment, but reporting on proposed changes of the law. And there's nothing wrong with a prosecutor saying, you know, not linking it to any particular person, that, you know, as prosecutors, we think that there should be changes in the law to deal with certain situations in general. But this is nothing, this is completely beyond the appropriate role of any prosecutor, and it's the same thing that Comey did. And
he certainly
did. It was outrageous
then,
and it's outrageous now.
Right. It is similar, Ben Max, to what Comey did in the summer with respect to Hillary Clinton when he said he was not going to bring charges, just like the DA and the U.S. attorney did here, say we don't usually make statements with respect to charges we don't bring, but this is such an important issue, I thought I should report on, you know, the context of my findings. And so the Republicans were angry at Comey last summer for not indicting Clinton when they thought there was enough evidence there. And the Democrats were angry at Comey last summer for not indicting, but saying, but she did this and this, which is not good, even if it's not illegal.
Right. The high profile nature of these cases and the electoral consequences coming up, I think, you know, have pushed some of these prosecutors to make public statements they may not otherwise and give the public as much information as they're willing to provide. It does cross into some tricky territory, but I think the more clarity for voters and constituents, the better. I think, as you alluded to, you know, one thing that may be hanging over us for a while here is this question of, you know, that second Comey statement. Will there be something that pops up? You know, additional evidence can, of course, come forward at any time, and the statements that were released today allude to that. I think, you know, most people think probably not, but obviously what James Comey did then with the new emails just a few days before the election was obviously had some sort of impact. We don't know exactly how much.
Annette in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Annette.
Yes, I completely agree with the earlier caller, the lawyer. I just would like to say that, you know, a lot of money was spent on these investigations. Now, they have a vested interest in saying that they weren't spending their money on a fishing expedition. They have to come up with something, even if they're clearing the mayor, they have to say something to show that their investigation had meaning, had a basis for fact, or at least even if they didn't come mm-hmm. with any charges, there was a reason for it. So I'm not so sure they're beyond investigating in terms of why did they bring all this money and resources to this investigation in the first place.
Yeah, that's a fair question. Bridget,
I'll just say very quickly,
Ben, go ahead.
In both statements, they explain why and that there was plenty for them to investigate.
Bridget, anything to add?
No, I mean, I think, Ben, the statements that we saw did sort of both clearly leave openings and lay out that there were, you know, that these were detailed investigations, but, you know, I think... Go ahead, Brian.
Well, let me finish with Laura before we run out of time, because Laura, I was reading your detailed story this morning on Politico New York, which I might have been talking about with the mayor were it not for all this breaking news, about his campaign fundraising for this year over the last quarter, in which you noted that I think 60% of it or certainly more than in the past were raised from donors outside New York City.
Yes.
And that the high roller donors, the big money donors in the city have been reluctant to donate to the mayor's reelection campaign because of fear of media scrutiny with this investigation or these two investigations having been going on. So I wonder if you have any immediate thought on how what we learned today will change the fundraising going forward.
Release the hounds, I guess. He can fundraise from freely, more freely at this point. He can go ahead and meet with lobbyists. He's had for almost a year now a self-imposed ban on actual personal contact with lobbyists. Presumably that will end or could end, although he, might take more care with who he meets with going forward. I would expect to see his fundraising from the usual suspects sort of pick back up again, that people will be less afraid to give to him and will be less afraid that they'll get a subpoena shortly after they make their donation or their donation is made public.
I think we'll see
his fundraising change back more toward the way that it was.
I guess it remains to be seen whether that happens or whether they'll feel that they're now under media scrutiny, even if not immediate legal scrutiny, because everybody sees how close to the legal line some of this fundraising in the first instance was and might be looking more closely at the donors than we in the media have at individual donors in some other cases. I don't know. I guess that does remain to be seen. And I'm going to wonder, again, based on some of your language in the article, that the mayor has been kind of tacking more toward the Bernie Sanders model of small donations. And if he now sticks to that, or if he does go back to fundraising as usual because he's been cleared, I guess only time will tell.
Well, it's definitely a lot easier to raise larger amounts of money from fewer people and to rely on bundlers than it is to solicit thousands and thousands of $27 donations. So to the extent that he feels that it takes up too much time to do the Bernie Sanders model, he might incorporate a little bit more of the large dollar fundraising and feel more comfortable with it, given the statements today.
Laura Namias covers City Hall for Politico New York. Ben Max is executive editor of the Gotham Gazette. And WNYC City Hall reporter Bridget Bergen, thank you all so much.
Thank you.
And again, the breaking news, Mayor de Blasio will not be criminally charged, nor will any of his aides, by either the U.S. attorney or the Manhattan DA.